Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I would like to think that this show, that you and I put a lot of effort into this show, to not make it a space where we come on here and have a whinge or complain about something.
I mean, speak for yourself.
I think there's definitely elements where we're like, this, oh, that would suck, or that's hard. But we're never like, oh, I hate when this happens, or how, blah, blah, blah. Like, I try.
I feel like I've done nothing but complain today. Off the air.
But on the show.
Yes.
Because, you know, everyone's got their own crap going on. They don't need to hear two Sookie La-Las, which, again, is one of my favourite things to call somebody if they're acting like one. They don't need that.
Yeah.
I would like an exception.
Okay.
Just for right now. Just for today. Just for the next 4 or 5 minutes.
You want to complain?
Yeah.
All right. Have a whinge. Go for it.
We need to get rid of trolleys where you need to use a gold coin.
Oh, I'm so with you on this. I am so with you on this. Yes.
Because I've seen that they're coming back to Woolies or something. Or maybe Coles. I don't know.
What do you mean? Do you not have them where you are?
No, at the shopping centre in Armstrong Creek that I go to.
Okay.
The Woolies and the Coles, you can take six trolleys if you want.
Really?
Yeah, there's no issue there.
God.
But
to be a creaker, Tim.
The Aldi.
North of Geelong, you can't get a trolley, mate. I started carrying around one of those Aldi coins on the little hook.
Well, it was this weekend. Did a big shop at Aldi, and my wife and my son and we're trying to get in. We're like, we'll get a trolley. He can sit in the trolley. We'll do that.
No coins
in the car. The Woolies and that. I said to my wife, I was like, I'll just walk over to the shops and get one. And she was like, we don't have enough time. And I was like, what are we going to do? So we just walked around and carried. And I was like, this system, like are people still stealing trolleys?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so. It's not about stealing the trolleys. It's that people don't put them back. That's the incentive.
Oh, that makes
sense. You put them back, you get your coin back, right?
But I don't know.
Although I did see someone at Cariah Village the other week. It was the peak of laziness. I was like,
man, this is coming from the queen.
I know, right? I was almost impressed. I'm walking the trolley back to the bay and I see someone take a trolley that's like already in the middle of nowhere, like hasn't been returned, and they put their trolley into that one to get the coin. And I was like, the trolley bay is literally 5 meters that way.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
That's why they do it.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I understand that, but it's a bad system.
Mm-hmm.
We're going more and more cashless.
What would you
every single year.
Would you, what if it had a little tap and
tap
go?
Tap and pay. It debits you at $2, and then when you return it, you get your $2 back.
Right.
I'm happy to do a returnsy system,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you get a sticker. I don't know. There's someone at the trolley bay, and they're like, oh, you returned your trolley? Here's a sticker. I'd like that. As a grown man, I'd like to be rewarded. But I totally, And I hate to, and I don't want to come here and be like, because it's like the most first world problem ever, but I don't think anyone enjoys that.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, yes, your trolleys are back where they're meant to be, but like, what regime do you want us to be living under? Is this some communist society?
Oh,
I know we were talking about communist China before, but now I'm starting to see patterns between China and supermarkets.
I'm going to buy you one of those little coins to keep on your key ring.
Well, I'm just going to take a pair of like bolt cutters
for
bike locks.
Yeah.
And that's how I'll do it. Or if I see a trolley in the middle of the car park, I will do what that very brave person has done.
This is Tim and Jess.
We usually have lunch as a little pack here in the K-Rock office.
Lunch lads.
And today conversation turned to movies that really scared you when you were a kid.
And you'd think that when we're talking about this, you'd be like, oh, like Scream or Slasher or, you know, Freddy vs. Jason, Friday 13th.
One of the guys in the office fully admitted that the hyenas from The Lion King were a bit scary. Personally, Whoopi Goldberg wasn't scary for me.
Right, okay, brave you are.
But I really didn't. I used to skip through the scene, like the Be Prepared scene.
Be Prepared.
It was scary as a kid.
Well, Whoopi Goldberg's in that.
Yeah, but she's not funny in that.
Oh, okay. I don't know why. Have you ever seen the old Disney movie Fantasia?
Fantasia. No, not since I was a kid.
Mickey Mouse is freaking out. He's like a little wizard and a mouse. And
is it because all the objects become like come
I
to
think
life?
They're starting to come to life, and he's attacking the broomsticks with an axe because they're coming towards him, and every time he cuts them in half, they multiply to, from one broom to two.
Oh god.
And they're following up the tower, and he's like, oh, I don't like this.
Only he doesn't say that.
But I used to be freaked out by that scene. I think I watched it when I was too young because it's like dark and they're in a castle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a ha ha. It's a ha ha. Oh no.
I couldn't watch Jumanji when I was a kid.
What?
Like Robin Williams Jumanji. Freaked me out.
What part?
Just like from the time that they go into the board game.
Oh, so 5 minutes into the movie.
I still have never seen the end of that movie.
Okay.
I still don't, can't, do you can't think, do it.
Could you be brave enough to watch it now as a 34-year-old?
I mean, I watched the remake with The Rock.
Yeah, you watched it because it had The Rock in it. You were like, arms with that, my fear is gone. Kapoof.
It wasn't as scary when The Rock was there to protect me.
Movie from 1990, someone brought up as well, Chappie, our digital guy, The Witches.
Yeah.
It's got Rowan Atkinson. It's got one of the women from The Addams Family,
mm-hmm.
the mother from The Addams Family. She's in that as well.
I don't remember this movie.
And they're witches and they have wigs and they take off their head and they're these munted like looking things. And it's terrifying.
The 90s was very notorious for having this the most gross like visual effects.
This is a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was a remake with Anne Hathaway that happened like maybe 5-6 years ago. Munted again.
Yeah.
Disgustingly gross.
Probably worse because special effects got better.
Yeah, special effects did get better.
5223295 What movie really scared you as a kid?
It probably shouldn't have had to. Like scary, mm-hmm. like the spoof movie of Scream, Scary Movie. I watched that.
I feel like you and I probably watched that and we were not supposed to be watching
it. The slasher movie and that Ghostface, the villain. Even though it was the spoof movie, the comedy version, it scared me. I slept with the light on for years after that movie because I was like, Ghostface is going to get me and like make all these funny puns.
No.
And it's not going to be good. Give us a call. I like this because mm-hmm. it's super individual. It's super personal. What movie scared you as a kid? It's Leon in Drysdale. What movie scared you as a kid?
when I was allowed to watch it, The Exorcist.
Okay.
That was for me. I've learned to love it. But at the time, I was lucky I was in a room with a lot of other people, so I was a little bit safer, or I felt safer.
Definitely not a movie for children, though, Leon.
Certainly not.
Okay. No, I remember I had to watch it. We did a film studies class part of my university.
That's hilarious.
And every week you'd go and watch a movie in like the lecture theatre. That was our lecture for the week.
You're like, I'll actually take credit on this one.
Had to watch The Exorcist. And I was like, I'm out. I'm not watching this.
I'd rather fail than be scared.
Yeah.
I don't want to be scared at university.
No, thank you.
The only thing that should scare you at university is your hex debt.
Okay.
Not a movie. Julie in Torquay. Julie, do you have a movie that scared you when you were a kid?
I don't know if you'll remember this, but maybe some of your listeners will. Do you remember H.R. Puff and Stuff?
Yeah.
Yes.
Freaky.
Yeah, definitely not for children.
Witchy Poo used to scare the hell out of me.
Witchy Poo was
and
very
and my brother. Do you remember Witchy Poo?
Yeah.
Look, I think, Julie,
she
I think it was the makeup.
Green and gnarly with a big nose.
I think the makeup was terrifying because, like, the big, like, painted white eyes.
Very freaky.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
My mum and I, she used to make my brother and I sit down and thinking it was a kid show and watching it, and we were terrified.
No. It's even now just thinking about. Don't like it. Megan, finally in Bell Park, finish this off for us. What movie scared you as a kid?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, of course.
Again, not a children's movie. Did you go into Pan's Labyrinth thinking it was a kid's movie?
I just remember, like, we would always put it on. And I don't know if it was us maybe or mum, but we would always sit down to watch it. And then the thing with the hands would come out with the eyes and we'd just scream.
Well, rightfully so.
Megan, I just want you to know, I typed in Pam's Labyrinth on Google to see the weird creature with the hands for eyes. And the first thing, the most Googled search term when you look up Pam's Labyrinth is how disturbing is Pam's Labyrinth? And the answer is it's full of shockingly violent scenes.
Yeah. It is. And I went into pop culture and they've got a massive statue of that thing with the hands.
Oh, God, do they really?
It would have been for a fair price, though. That's the best thing.
I I was out of that part of the shop real quick because
oh
I was like, nah, format, see ya.
I actually feel like we need to spend some show money on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Put it in the corner of the studio, turn off the lights.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, you and I are in very long-term relationships, but would you say that when we were each of us single, we were kind of like, you know, we had the charm, bit of riz in the dating world?
I can only really speak for you.
Yeah.
And I assume you can only really speak for me. You have anti-riz. Like, you know,
I can't believe each of us found someone that wanted to spend time with us.
I mean, I was a pretty cool carbon collector. Mate, you didn't see me out in the single world too often.
That's true.
You got to admit, I was one from one. From when we knew each other and I went on one date, but now I'm married to that person.
Yeah, that's so true.
I got a great strike rate.
Yeah.
I've seen you, you know, claw and fight your way through many a man, Jess.
Fight.
Until you finally found the love of your life.
Yeah. Well, look, it turns out there's a really easy secret way to be instantly more attractive.
Okay.
To the opposite sex. And it's come from Luann Ward. She's a qualified matchmaker and coach from Perth in WA. And she claims that people are killing their own attraction powers by talking too much.
Oh, sorry, mate. Oh, no.
Apparently, the best way to be attractive to someone is to take a 3-second pause when you enter the room. So if you're entering a room, right, you're trying to get someone's attention, 3-second pause, you've gained their attention.
I have arrived. 3 seconds is long. Let's time
three
it out.
3 seconds is a long time.
All right, everyone be quiet.
Okay, we're walking into the room. Hi.
G'day.
And apparently that pause gives people time to kind of take in all of your words.
Okay.
And take in your aura, and you're instantly more attractive and more appealing because of the mysteriousness of not speaking straight away.
If we were to compare this, I guess, this tactic and put golf onto it, Jess, you would be playing with a severe handicap.
I do not enjoy silence, Tim. No. It's probably why I became a radio announcer, because I just talk. I talk and talk and talk. And if someone is silent, I keep talking more because I feel like I need to fill the silence.
Can't stress enough, and I feel like we've brought this up in many meetings outside of the show. The goal is not to come on here and say lots. It's to say a something good. It's to say something decent of value.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and sometimes I achieve that goal.
It's not somewhere where you just come and go, blah.
But I also do that.
Yeah.
But apparently the best way to look more attractive is the 3-second pause and hold.
Do you think that do you think your husband would know something's up if you started doing this?
I think I might want to try it with him. Like, see. Because every now and then I'll get home from work and you know how I've been talking all day.
Talk. You just have to decompress.
I need to decompress. And so I'll just sit on the couch and I'll be so quiet that my husband will look over and be like, what happened?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
You're just like, oh, I said 48,000 words today, babe. I need to have a break.
Usually you take me straight on the train to Japan and now nothing.
Yes. Please don't tell me that you refer to when Japan, like Japan, but for yappers?
Yeah.
Okay. You just said it like...
It's somewhere where me and my husband go often.
You just said it like it was something we'd all know. Okay.
Yap City. Population
yep,
Jess.
Yapistan.
You know.
South Yaprica.
Like South Africa. I like it.
Yes, thank you for clearing that one up. Matter yap ya. Stop. This isn't what we're talking about. I'm going to think of too many of these.
This is why we don't look attractive right now, Tim, because we haven't paused, taken that 3-second breath.
All right, let's do it again. Yes. Okay.
Yap Tarctica.
That was crap. Yap. That's what that was. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Been chatting to my sister-in-law a lot. My wife and I, mostly those two, I'm just the non-listen to financial advisor of their venture.
They've started a business and they came to you looking for financial advice. You gave them that advice and they said, nah, we're going to do it our way.
Yeah. If I was a financial advisor, I've said to them, I would have dropped them as a client.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, but no, they've opened up a shop. It's really exciting. It's where they both grew up. So they're doing a lot of stuff there. And I've been chatting to my sister-in-law because new stuff's coming in, like curtains for the shop because she's a florist and like cute. Up the back and all these kind of things. And so I'll be texting her stuff. And she always sends back voice memos.
Yep. Is she Gen Z?
She's 23.
Yeah.
Friend of ours, Kendra, Jess, she used to work here at the radio station. I'll send messages, voice memos back.
Yep. Doesn't matter how many times I send her more texts, she'll still send me voice memos back.
And like my best mate, he's really big into voice memos. My issue is once, I know like on text message, you can see like it has like a loose like script at the bottom. You can click on it. You can be like, oh, here's what it says if you haven't got time to listen. But on Messenger, I'm like, at least if what we've talked about is there in text, I can reference back to it and be like, oh, Jess asked me this question. I have an answer, blah, blah. If it's in a voice memo or a voice message, it's gone.
And on the iPhone, like if you're just in text messages, because on Facebook, all the voice notes are saved. Whereas if you play it on your iPhone, it disappears.
Does it?
Yeah.
What a bad system.
Goes.
Okay. I don't know if it's because, and I understand she's busy. She's in a florist. She's like cutting flowers. She's getting arrangements ready. So it is probably easier for her to, instead of sitting there and going, boop, 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 she can continue what she's doing, walking around going, yeah, the new curtains arrive and I've got some frangipanis here and all this stuff.
Do you remember going from like having to type all the numbers?
Oh, like on a button mobile phone to be like, if I press 3.
And then finally having a full keyboard on your phone. And that felt like such freedom. Maybe that's the feeling Gen Z get sending voice memos.
There's a chance. I wanted to open the phones, 52232955. Are you for, like, if you're passionate about voice notes, give us a call. Tell us about it. Say, hey, no, you need to get on this train. If you hate them, give us a call. Let's just jump on. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves the stacks on. You got to say, right?
Yeah.
What do you think's better, texting or voice notes?
See, I have to be in the mood for voice notes.
Same.
Because I do like a voice note. If I can't be bothered having a full conversation, I can voice note back and forth. But sometimes I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
If I've been yap, yap, yapping all day, I just want to text.
Yeah.
What?
No, I was just going to say if you were finished speaking. Kept speaking and speaking and speaking. We're going to leave it in a text message. It's not a voice note. 52232955. Walk straight into that one. What do you prefer? Text, voice notes? Abby, Grovedale, what do you think? Do you like voice memos? Do you prefer texts?
Well, I prefer texting, but I've sort of been conditioned to both because my dad needs to wear glasses to read the phone and he tends to lose his glasses a lot or break them or my kids break them, whatever. they end up somewhere. And so he just prefers doing voice memos because he can hear them, not have to read them.
I think that's kind of cute, Abby. I really like that because then you have all these like random voice notes from your dad too.
It's nice. And then the girls, like, get involved as well. Like, they're like, oh, it's Pop-Up. Hi, Pop-Up.
Have you seen those videos? It'll be, like, an older person using voice to text. So they'll be saying what they want the text message to write, and they'll make a mistake. It'll be like, hello, Evelyn. Wait, no, stop. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Voice to text is a scam.
Yeah.
That's a full-on scam. The voice memos are good. At least you can... Like, my dad's a mumbler, too. So if he's mumbling, at least I can understand him. If it's a voice to text, the phone doesn't understand him.
Okay. Absolutely no chance. Right, yeah. Why is Dad texting about tortoise soup again?
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, what if the amazing travel website where you can kind of book holidays in?
Yeah, we love What If.
Different holiday packages. They've released their 2025 Aussie Town of the Year Awards.
They do this every year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is last year's list. And this would be places that had a big increase in people visiting them. So not like the most visited to. Otherwise, it would be like Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane.
Apparently,
right?
They determined with their research that 78% of all Aussies are planning to travel domestically this year.
Yeah.
Which is
way
huge.
More affordable.
Yeah,
way
absolutely. Look, coming in, the top three are towns in WA, Queensland, New South Wales, which is disappointing. I've never heard of the one in WA.
What is it?
Mandurah.
Yeah, Mandurah, yeah.
Sure. Number two, Cairns in Queensland. And number one, Port Stephens in New South Wales, topping out the list. But the one I wanted to talk about, a town that we love in Victoria, only two Victorian towns made the list. One at number five was Beechworth.
Hey, Beechworth's the best.
Beechworth has a lot of charm.
Good honey.
Yes.
Very good honey in Beechworth.
But one that's quite local to us, and I think a lot of people should probably...
How local?
Port Campbell. That's pretty local.
Mate. When was the last time you were in Port Campbell?
I had the best Nokia of my life in Port Campbell, okay?
For people that might not know where Port Campbell is, where is it?
It's like drive to the 12 Apostles, or what's left of them, and just keep driving a little while longer. Yeah.
I mean, I would end my Great Ocean Road with Apollo Bay and the Apostles. Mm-hmm. That's where I go. Well, we've done it. Yep. All right.
And then you go, God, I feel like a gnocchi. I'm going to go to Port Campbell. Okay. Number six on the what if list.
I guess it's at the end of the Great Ocean Road. So that's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, why not more is all I say.
I feel like we've got way more towns. So much WA in the list.
People like going to WA.
Yeah.
What can I say? It's over
very
there.
Very surprising.
Feels like another country.
But not a lot of South Australia. Only one town in South Australia.
If you had to pick one town across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine to like be like, hey, we're going to pick this one town.
And we're going
to
get behind it.
We're going to get behind it. So 2025, it's on the what if list.
I do love Torquay.
Yeah, I feel like
Torquay's already had its time.
Yeah, it's like shining brightly. Mm. Like, let's get an underdog.
Port Arlington.
Now we're talking. Now
they seem
talking.
To like a port, so let's go from Port Stephens to Port Arlington.
I'm a huge fan of that. Maybe we could do like a little...
We can highlight your secret beach.
You know, we could... No. Well, I'm not going to just throw them the keys to my secret beach in Port Arlington. We could do a getaway-style commercial next week for Port Arlington to be considered one of the best towns
to visit.
Hi,
what if?
We can send it to them and see if people want to go. I could be Katrina Rowntree.
Sure.
You can be the camera guy. I don't know much other than that dynamic on the show. But maybe
how long has it been since you watched Getaway?
You two could be Katrina Rowntree.
Yeah.
And we could do something a little bit fun and have a bit of time in Port Arlington.
Okay, I think let's put Port Arlington on the map.
All right. Love it.
Yep.
And let's go to the hotel too.
All thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.